This is Betty Turnell speaking for the Decatur Public Library. Our guest today is Dr. Laren Spear. Well, Dr. Spear, why don't you begin at the beginning and tell us something about your early life?
I was born in the southeastern part of South Dakota in 1896. My parents were farm people. I had two brothers, Ray and Charles. We grew up in a religious home or closely related to the church in our childhood and boyhood days. And I never could exactly understand how it happened, but all three of us went into full-time Christian work. We all graduated from Dakota Wesleyan University at Mitchell, South Dakota. And at one time, we were all three of us there during the same years. My brother, Ray, my oldest brother, was a missionary and went to Burma. And there he spent 40 years as a missionary. He's now retired. My younger brother, Charles, joined the Minnesota Conference of the Methodist Church and served there as pastor and district superintendent. He died of cancer a few years ago. We're always grateful for the good influences we had at home and at Dakota Wesleyan. While I was at Dakota Wesleyan, I majored in English and had expected to be a teacher of English, I hoped, on a college level. And then, following my junior year, the president of the college asked me if I would go out to White River, South Dakota, and care for a little church out there as pastor. I don't remember whether the preacher died or left or what, but anyway, there was a vacancy there. I'd always said I never would be a preacher, and I was especially interested in good English and literature and teaching in that area. But I had experience in religion at home and in the YMCA at college, and so I went out there. This little town was 40 miles from a railroad in western South Dakota. It was in the Rosebud Indian Reservation. And this little town with tar paper shacks and small houses and a fairly nice Methodist church was where I spent three very wonderful months. I never heard any voices speaking. I don't know just exactly how it happened. But at the end of that 3 months, I decided that I would enter the ministry of Jesus Christ. So I finished college in 1922. And then I went down to Garrett Theological School in Evanston. While I was there, I had a part-time charge in various places in Illinois. And shortly after that, then, Lucille Pagel from Egan, South Dakota, and I were married, and we started our first charge at a little town, St. Joseph, Illinois. And from there on, my ministry was carried on in the Illinois Conference, and I served various churches, among them Marshall in Rushville, Lincoln, Urbana. And then in 1944, I came to the First Methodist Church in Decatur. And there I had a long and happy pastorate, which lasted almost 13 years. This was really a large church and a heavy load, and in the process of carrying on, I had a very severe coronary attack. However, with the help of the Lord and good medical help, I made a good recovery. And after I got better then, I served our little Methodist church out at Long Creek, east of Decatur, for a period of 8 years. Now, I'm now retired, and I'm quite active here in St. Paul's United Methodist Church, where Lucille, my wife, is a member. Looking back over my experiences in Decatur, I'm grateful for the many wonderful people I knew. And one of the things that was of inspiration to me was the cooperation between the various churches. And in the middle 50s, we had here in Decatur an extremely effective council of churches. Mrs. Lila Lytle was the executive secretary full-time, and the council included the members of about 24 churches and carried on a real expansive program dealing with a good many things. They had a school of religion which met in the spring. They had summer services at the park, and incidentally, they're still carried on, along with the Holy Week services and Good Friday. These are still continuing. And then there was a weekday religious education program. In those days, there could be release time before that was outlawed by the legislation. And at one time, there were as many as 2,000 boys and girls in the 4th, 5th, and 6th grades who were in religious education classes. The council also sponsored a hospital chaplain program and a good many other areas of activities. One of the things I noticed in my observation through the years is that there's been a much better relationship between the black churches and the Roman Catholic churches and the mainline Protestant churches. When I came here, there was very little relationship between Protestants and Catholics in terms of church activities. Now, I remember along in the middle 50s when there was only one high school, Stephen Decatur, and it was a custom to have a baccalaureate service each year, and the senior class always voted on whom they would like to have as the baccalaureate speaker. And one year, about 53, I believe it was, I was elected to be the speaker at the baccalaureate service. And Father Powell, who was at St. Patrick's Methodist Catholic Church, was a very close runner-up. So I thought it would be nice to ask him to share in the service, which in those days was held in Kintner Gym. Father Powell said that he had to check with the bishop at Springfield to see whether he could share in that kind of a service. Later on, he called me and told me that the bishop had forbidden him to share in that service, even although it was held in a public place. Now, since that time, many changes have taken place, and St. Thomas Church, for example, St. Thomas Roman Catholic, has become active. They have representatives in the church council. The minister, the priest at St. Thomas, has preached at our church here at St. Paul's. The Thanksgiving service this year was held at the new St. Thomas Church. And so there's been a whole new relationship at that point. And then I have observed a good many changes in the attitudes of the churches as they concern the black churches. When I came to Decatur, there was very little relationship between the black churches and the white churches. And now that's all changed. And here in this church, St. Paul's United Methodist Church, we're involved in a series of Lenten services each spring in which about seven churches take place, and three of them are black churches. And we've had a really wonderful relationship with the black churches here at St. Paul's. One year, St. Peter's African Methodist Church had a combined vacation Bible school with our children here at St. Paul's. And then I've noticed quite a lot of difference, too, in the relationship of the black community to the white. When I first came to Decatur, it wasn't possible for a black person to eat anywhere in Decatur except at the dime stores. And I remember one time when we had a conference at the First Methodist Church, where I was pastor, that we had a black speaker from one of our general boards. And I was afraid to take him out with the rest of us to eat in a restaurant until I had called the management of the restaurant, explained that we were coming, who we were, and who would be with us, and asked him if it would be all right and if a black person would be served without any embarrassment. One of my good friends here in Decatur, Sam Hale, who is one of the Negro preachers and has been here in Decatur a long time, told me that some years ago, when they stopped at a restaurant to eat, they were served with great reluctance, and then when they had finished the meal, the dishes were broken that they ate from in their presence and thrown in the garbage pail. Well, all this has changed, and now, of course, all the restaurants are open to black people, and while there's a lot of advancement that yet need to be made in race relations, a good many worthwhile things have happened. During my years, I chose to be a pastor. I had the opportunity to be a district superintendent. I was briefly a district superintendent, and then when First Methodist Church here in Decatur opened up, I was very glad to leave that short district superintendency term and get back into the pastorate again. During my ministry, I had the opportunity to go into the Preacher's Aid Society as an officer. I was also asked if I would allow my name to be submitted as president of Dakota Wesleyan University at Mitchell. But I had no interest in these outside activities. The pastorate has been my first love all through these years, and would be again had my life to live over again. I'm now retired, and very shortly, Lucille and I plan to go to Evenglow Lodge, a retirement home at Pontiac, Illinois. But these retirement years have been filled with a great deal of happiness. I've still been able to maintain many relationships in the community and with my ministerial friends. I've had an opportunity to preach a good many times, to speak on various occasions. And one of the things I especially enjoyed doing during my more active years, but I've still continued to do it, is to give a lecture at Father and Son banquets on archery. Many years ago, when I was young, I was appointed as the director of recreation at one of the big centers of summertime youth activities for our Methodist young people. And there, in going to conferences, I became interested in archery. I made a lot of archery equipment. And I had a lecture which I have literally given scores of times, which I called Shooting the Arrow of Life. And in this, mostly given at father and son banquets, but at other places too, I had a small target and a variety of bows and arrows. And along with it, I spoke on a theme, which I found from somewhere. I never knew who the author was. Life is an arrow. Therefore, you must know what mark to aim at, how to draw the bow, pull it to the head, and let it go. And with this as a background for some almost preaching, and then with some demonstration of archery. Now, this was a popular address which I gave in almost all the towns around here, especially in the Methodist churches. During the years, I had many opportunities to serve with younger people. And back in the early days of my ministry here in the Illinois Conference, the big center for our young people was over at Old Salem near Petersburg. And sometimes in our summer institutes over there, we'd have as many as 1,000 young people and adults there for a period of a week. In more recent years, we have more camps, but in those days, we all met in a central place, and it was really pretty great. I had the opportunity, being interested in recreation, to lead recreation for many groups of young people in various churches and in various civilian groups, and was frequently a teacher and a leader at these summer institutes. And back in the early days of my ministry, when it was possible for young men to enter the Illinois Conference in full connection without going to seminary, we had a school every year which was held at Bloomington in the summer. And the young men who were in this course took a wide variety of subjects in preparation for the pastorate without having to go to seminary. This always met at Bloomington on the campus of Illinois Wesleyan University. And there for several years, I taught courses. And I still see some of the men now grown and well advanced in the ministry who were my students in those long ago days. One of the real pleasures I've had, and one of the happy experiences, is to meet people in various circumstances and in various places who would say, well, do you remember when we were in school at Bloomington and when you taught classes in recreation at Old Salem? To see these people after many years has been one of the real joys of my life.
Thank you very much, Dr. Speer. Your life has really been an inspiration to many people.
Well, it's been real happy, and I'm grateful for this opportunity to talk with you for a little while.
And we're very happy to have the reminiscences and recollections of your long and wonderful life. And good luck for the future. You have been listening to the experiences of Dr. Lauren Speer. This is Betty Trunell for the Decatur Public Library.